So we've got basically everything working against the food pantries right now, and we're really trying to reach out to the community to say, can you please come together? We've been actively working to deliver this message to the government, but it can take time for those resources to come through. And we're hopeful. We know the state cares and we know they want to do the right thing, but sometimes these things can take time. And right now, we have a large number of people turning to food pantries.
I want to go back a little bit to the structure of the food distribution. Can you talk us through what the system is like? What's the difference between the food bank, a food pantry, and then the food pantries for the Capital District?
Sure. We're all working together to help end hunger. The food pantries, the individual food pantries, like I mentioned, there's almost 70 food pantries in our coalition. So the food pantries for the Capital District is a coalition of about 70 food pantries. And these food pantries, if you are a person in need of food, you would go to a food pantry to get food. Many of them are located in churches. About 50% are totally volunteer run. Other food pantries are located in larger human services organizations and might have some paid staff, but still rely heavily on volunteers. So those are the food pantries. So where do the food pantries get their food from? About 60 to 80% of the food that food pantries distribute comes from food banks. So here in the Capital Region, we have one food bank, and they get food from the government, the USDA food, which is free. We can get free produce. And then most of the food pantries has a cost associated with it, whether it's a shared maintenance fee or co-op, which is basically like shopping wholesale. So pantries couldn't do it without the food bank because their dollars can go a lot farther paying for food at the food bank than going to a grocery store and having to rely on paying retail prices.
That brings us to the idea of what are ways that individuals can help meet the need, and what are the best ways to do it? What are some of the options?
Pantries dollars can definitely go farther in the long run because they do get most of their food from the food bank. So if you are able to support food pantries through financial contributions, that is a huge help. After that is to find out what do your local food pantries need. And food drives can be helpful, especially if you're going to a store and you see a sale, load up on things. Some of the staple items that food pantries really appreciate are canned meals like soups, stews, things that are easy for kids to eat, box meals, cereal, canned fruits and vegetables. Just look in your own pantry and see, what do you keep in your pantry and bring those things down to a local food pantry. The other thing that is really appreciated, especially by people visiting food pantries for assistance, is things like dish detergent, laundry detergent, personal hygiene products, deodorant, toothpaste. SNAP, or what was formerly called food stamps, doesn't cover those kind of items, and they can be very expensive. And usually, food pantries themselves don't spend money on those items because they're focused more on food, but people in the community really appreciate being able to walk away with those items as well. And volunteering. If you are someone, especially who can dedicate regular time, pantries use volunteers as a labor force. And while I talk about like the one and done, like one time show up and volunteer can be helpful, most pantries' volunteer needs are more for a regular, steady person that they can train to do a specific task and really be a part of the regular team. If you are wanting to get involved, the food pantries for the Capital District can help find a food pantry for you to volunteer at. You can go to our website, thefoodpantries.org, and we can help you get involved.
Your website has information on if you want to donate, if you want to volunteer, and especially if you need food. What are the locations of the food pantries? Where can you go? When can you go? Any other information in our final moment that you want to mention?
I just have to say thank you so much for including me in your program. I know that we all care. We have an incredibly generous community, and a lot of people are going through hardship right now. If you're able to help, please do. And also, if you are a person who reaches out to your public representatives, please share this message with them. They really need to hear that this is a major crisis right now. We really appreciate that.
I hope that this helps. So that was Natasha Pernica from the Food Pantries for the Capital District. Their website again is thefoodpantries.org. Natasha, thank you for everything that you and your crew do.
Thank you.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
If only it was so simple.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Athens, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond.
It's my pleasure for open years. I'm Claire, and I'm 8, and I live in Athens. And thousands of miles away.
Thousands.
Athens.
You live in like Greece?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
That's where I live.
I'm Emily, I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
I'm joking.
In one of the Hudsons in the world. They're not as far. I think all of the Hudsons are in the U.S., but I'm not sure. I haven't heard of a Hudson elsewhere. But we're here every week talking about books. Books
we love. We love books things.
Yep. And that's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by our friends Georgia and Fatia and Amelia, but today it's me and Claire. Just Claire and Emily show.
It's a Claire and Emily show.
Boop-a-doop.
Oh, wait. There's this funny thing. It's not related to books, but it's just like what I said and you said. So my teacher's name is Miss Sherry. And You know how there's this nude broadcast that sometimes comes on in the bus? It's Bob and Sherry. It's a weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you sometimes have heard it.
I think I have heard of Bob and Sherry. It's on one of the local radio stations. Maybe it's your teacher.
No.
She has a secret second life as a radio broadcaster, but probably not.
Yeah.
Cool. So we haven't had a chance to talk in a bit. How have you been?
Good.
Me too. I haven't done as much reading as I would have liked because I've been traveling, but I did do some reading. Have you been reading anything good?
Yep. Yep. So here I have I to Be Catherine Hannigan and Her Plan to Maximize Fun Before Disaster and Possibly Save the World.
Whoa.
I to Be and Her Plan to Maximize Fun. It sounds like really childish and horrible, but it's actually really good.
Cool. Has a little blurb from Kate DiCamillo on the cover. I trust her. And I trust you.
And then,
what's it about? It's a chapter book?
So I read it all. So it's about her. And I read you one page on the back.
Okay.
This is what I have. Well, it's part of the book. You'll hear this in the book if you read it too. This is what I have for lunch every single day. Peanut butter, emerald slice of bread, milk, and an apple. Preferably a Michelot. Because they're tangy with a thin skin, which Daddy says reasonable me at times. Don't you want to try something different, Ivy? Daddy will say. Well, by lunchtime, I'm wide awake and I've already been busy doing my chores and learning and have some fun. I've got a list of things that I can't wait to do an afternoon, my head is filled to the rim with interesting ideas and plans, and that's exactly how I want it to stay. There's too much things to think about in this world. Best cities that I'm going to have for lunch, Daddy, I say, and he looks at me. I like I'm truly mysterious.
Sounds fun. So you've read the whole book?
Yeah.
And you enjoyed it?
Yeah. Oh, and then there's this other one.
Another book?
So I have 5 books. I have I'm Invited to a Party, I Will Surprise My Friend, Happy Pig Day, Waited Not Easy, and the Thank You Book. Here are all the 4 books.
Yay. What does it say
it's
on it?
Says the Biggie and Elephant and Piggy. Biggie, 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 Biggie. Woo. 5 by Mo Williams, Volume 5.
And I love
it has
those books.
5 amazing books. They are all really good.
You can't go wrong with Elephant and Piggy.
Yeah, no matter what age you are.
Mm-hmm. Fun for all ages.
My favorite is the Thank You one. Thank you or Happy Pig Day. Wait, no.
Yeah.
The Thank You one or I'm Invited to a Party. So you either say the best one. So I think that you should maybe read these ones last, the 2 other ones. Because I think they're really good. I don't know about you. You might think different. But I think that you should read them last and save it up.
Hmm. But you really can't go wrong. They're all so good. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Save the best for last.
Yeah. I'm Invited to Party.
Yeah, I forget which ones. I forget which ones I've read or not read. Because I've read a lot of them, but I didn't read it in any specific order. Just kind of like grabbed them every once in a while to read. But someday I should read them through start to finish. Although you don't have to. There's not like a strong character arc or anything. But they're so cute and funny. I like that they're funny. And because there's most of the books just have Elephant and Piggy and occasionally there's other characters. I like if you're reading it with somebody else who knows how to read as well, you can take turns doing the parts. So one of you can be Elephant, one can be or Gerald and Piggy.
Oh, and there's this joke that I want to tell you.
Okay.
Who's the king of the pencil case?
I don't know.
The ruler.
Oh,
and I want to tell you a joke. And I want to tell you another one, but this one, the one that I just said, I have not made up, and the one that I'm about to say, I have made up.
Okay.
What did the annoyed clock say to the other annoyed clock?
Is that something like you're ticking me off?
You're ticking me off. Did I say that one already?
No. It's just clever. I like it. Excellent. Excellent work. Well, thanks for sharing those books. They're very different. The Ida B one seems like it's a little more advanced reading, like a middle grade chapter book. And then Elephant and Piggy are sort of lighter and fun. So it's a nice little balance. But while you were sharing, we have another member of our team that made it.
Wait,
to the radio.
Guess who it is. Guess who it
guess
is.
Who? Guess who, listeners.
Okay, we'll give you 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You could only have chosen one. It was...
Reveal yourself.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who Fatia! Else is here?
Hi.
Hi, Fatia. Yay. Fatia is here. We're so excited. Did you have something you wanted to share today, Fatia?
Yeah, I do. Hold on, just find it real quick.
Okay.
It's called Life. It's by Erin K. Green. And it's a poem, too, that I've been reading a lot.
Nice.
Getting by one day at a time. My challenges and trails grow. So a new mountain I must climb and battle through the endless snow. Every day struggles renew. Life unique and in epic style. Sleepless nights turn my brain to stew. Yet I find a reason to smile. Rest I face challenges aglore. Sleepless nights through storms untamed and endless mountains to endure. I do with my love call band. Together we overcome strife. Together we tackle this life.
Lovely. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing. How did you come across that poem?
I was like very like sad, and like I was like searching for a bunch of poems that I could found in. I think that was like a week ago or two. And like I read it like a billion times.
Very cool. I love reading poems and I love hearing poems. So I love when you share them. I haven't read much poetry recently. I should do more of that. So I have a book / streaming series to mention on this show. So I will say first off that I haven't read this book in many, many years. And so the specifics of it are a little loose in my brain, but I remember enjoying it quite a bit. And I was able to meet the author back in 2013 and got my book signed. So, and he was very nice. He's a very cool guy. And, but anyways, so the book is American Born Chinese. It's by Jean Luen Yang.
Oh my God. On Disney, there is a new TV show called that.
Yep. And it's based on the book, although I'm pretty sure that they made a lot of changes to the storyline. So there's some similarities, but I think it's very different. So I will read the description of the book, and then we could talk about the show too, if you want. So I'll read the description first, but it's American Born Chinese. It was geared towards teens. I haven't read in a while, so it might be okay for middle grade, but I can't remember. But the year it came out, it won the Michael L. Prince Award, which is like the American Library Association's main book for young adults award. And it was also a National Book Award finalist. And I'm pretty sure that it was the first graphic novel to ever be a finalist for that award. And it won the Eisner Award for Best Graphic Album as well. And it was on like a ton of best lists. So I'm gonna read the description for this one because I haven't read it in over 10 years. But I'm hoping after I watch the show, I'm gonna read it again to see how it compares. But I didn't want to spoil anything in the show for myself since I'm watching it a bit fresh. So here's the description. Three very different characters, one simple goal, to fit in. Jin Wong starts at a new school where he's the only Chinese American student. When a boy from Taiwan joins his class, Jin doesn't want to be associated with an FOB like him. That means fresh off the boat. Jin just wants to be an all-American boy because he's in love with an all-American girl. Danny is an all-American boy, great at basketball, popular with the girls. But his obnoxious Chinese cousin, Chin Ki's annual visit is such a disaster that it ruins Danny's reputation at school, leaving him with no choice but to transfer somewhere he can start all over again. The Monkey King has lived for thousands of years and mastered the arts of Kung Fu and the heavenly disciplines. He's ready to join the ranks of the immortal gods in heaven, but there's no place in heaven for a monkey. Each of these characters cannot help himself alone, but how can they possibly help each other? They're going to have to find a way if they want to fix the disasters their lives have become. And so there's some, for anyone who's seen the series, which all of the episodes are streaming right now, double checked. I've only seen two of them so far.
Only two? I've only seen half of the first one.
Ooh. But there's definitely some connections between these stories and what's happening on the series. But I think they kind of like tried to mix some of it together. So instead of having three different storylines that come together, it's more like two, maybe. But I think it's really fun so far. I've really enjoyed the series, the TV series, and I loved this when it came out. Thought it was really good. So yeah, my plan is to finish watching the series and then read the book again. And that way I can compare. I like seeing how things are adapted to different mediums, so like from book to film or vice versa, or from other things. Even there is the video game, The Last of Us, and one of my favorite...
What?
So there's a video game called The Last of Us, and there's a popular show out now called The Last of Us that's based on that game. So it started as a video game, ended up into a show. It's about a future world in which they're not quite zombies, but it's like an equivalent of zombies. It's a fungus thing that like takes over the brain. It's actually based on a real fungus that can like take over insect brains, and there's little zombie insects walking around controlled by the fungus. But so there's a video game that follows an adult man and a young woman who is potentially the cure for this because she is immune to the attacks of these fungus zombie things. And so there's a video game. It recently got adapted into a series. But in between those two things happening, there was also a graphic novel based on characters from the books that Faith Aaron. What else is it about? The game or the show or the comic?
Both. All.
Oh, I haven't played the game. I assume the game is similar to the show. What I like about the show is that while it has this overall adventure to it and like scary stuff and, you know, there's big adventure moments, it also has a lot of character development. You get to know the characters and care about them.
You meet people. What does the fungus do? Like what does the fungus do?
It basically takes over their brains, but then it's also like the fungus can communicate. So if one of them knows you're somewhere, like they can like message on to the others. That's very scary.
Oh, like how do they act when they get the fungus?
Well, at first they just act normal. It doesn't get to you right away, but eventually you start acting like basically like a zombie.
And wanting like human biting brains?
People. Not brains so much. I don't think they go for the brains. I'm trying to remember. I think they just bite and then they make you one of their own. But the comic, which was by the person who wrote and developed the game, but all of the artwork is by Faith Aaron Hicks, who is an artist that I really like. And I'll say one thing as a reader of the comic, having known nothing about the game, it felt a little empty to me because it was really meant for people that enjoy the game. So I didn't really get much out of it. I think now that I've seen the show, if I read it again, I'd get more of it out of it because I know the characters and I care about them. But so the comic is sort of a little bit of a prequel to the series, but it's about one of the main characters named Ellie.
Oh my God, my friend in the game, she really likes to pretend that her name's Ellie, even though it isn't in game. She's like, we're playing like family, and she's like, and we're like, okay, what's your name? And she's like, Ellie, for like the game.
Interesting. But yeah, I like seeing, that is all to say that I like adaptations of different things. So I like seeing.
Oh, here's a little joke. The snuggle's real. Get it? Instead of the struggle, the snuggle.
Snuggle's real. Just put that on a blanket.
Oh, it's actually on a sweater that I have. Although I don't have it on. Obviously, I don't have it on.
It's hot. Well, that was the book that I wanted to talk about today. The book and bookish thing. But yeah, there's also a lot of cool sounding books coming out this month. I thought I could highlight a couple of them. So I'll start with one that is recently out. This is a graphic novel geared for ages 8 to 9. It's a middle grade graphic novel. And it is called Junior High. And it's by Tegan and Sarah, who are an indie pop twin sister duo. And I believe this is their debut, middle grade at least. I can't remember if they've written something.
Or third grade, because 8-year-olds are in third grade.
Yeah, it says grades 3 to 4 or ages 8 to 9 is the intended audience. But as we all know, that age ranges are much wider than that. But here is the description for that book. From indie pop twin sister duo Tegan and Sarah comes a contemporary middle grade graphic novel that explores growing up, coming out, and finding yourself through music and sisterhood. perfect for fans of Raina Telgemeier Sisters, which I loved. Before Tegan and Sarah took the music world by storm, the Quinns were just two identical twins trying to find their place in a new home and new school. From first crushes to the perils of puberty, surviving junior high is something the sisters plan to face side by side, just like they've always faced things. But growing up also means growing apart. As Tegan and Sarah make different friends and take separate paths to understanding their queerness, for the first time ever, they ask who one sister is without the other. Set in the present day, this effervescent blend of fiction and autobiography with artwork from Eisner Award winner Tilly Walden, who I also love, offers a glimpse at the two sisters before they became icons, exploring their shifting relationship, their own experiences coming out, and the first steps of their musical journey. A prequel of sorts to the author's best-selling adult memoir, High School. Now an 8-episode freebie television series. It was also adapted. Well, the adult book. But
yeah, so
I think it's interesting that it's based on their childhood, but that, you know, their childhood, they, I don't know how old they are, but they were probably grew up in the, maybe in the 90s. I think it's interesting that they updated the timeline so that readers today will be able to connect more. But I forgot that Tilly Walden did all the artwork for this. And Tilly Walden is one of my favorite graphic novel artists of and writers of all time, although she didn't write this one. But so that's Junior High. It's the first in a series. Tegan and Sarah is the series and the names of the authors. So I'll definitely be checking that one out. I actually started reading it the other day, but I haven't finished it yet. So also, I could talk about that on a future show, perhaps. And then I'll just mention one more book, Camp Sylvania. Camp I left Sylvania. The tagline, this summer camp bites. And it's by Julie Murphy, who wrote the Dumplin series.
The Dumplin?
Yeah, Dumplin is a popular book. She's also written some other things, but that's her most famous. So here's the description for this one. Magnolia Maggie Hagen is determined to be in the spotlight, if she can just get over her stage fright. This summer, though, she has big plans to finally attend Camp Rising Star, the famous performing arts camp she's been dying to go to for 3 whole summers. But on the last day of school, her parents break the news. Maggie isn't going to Camp Rising Star. She's being shipped off to Fat Camp. And not just any Fat Camp, she's going to Camp Sylvania, run by world-famous wellness influencer Sylvia Sylvania, who is known for her soon-to-be-patented Scarlet Diet. When Maggie arrives at camp, things are weird. There are the humiliating weigh-ins and grueling workouts, as expected, but the campers are also encouraged to donate blood at their age. The cafeteria serves only red foods, and the oddly specific rules change every day. There are even rumors of a camp ghost. Despite these horrors, Maggie makes friends and starts to actually enjoy herself. There are even tryouts for a camp production of The Music Man. This place might not be so bad until campers start going missing and other suspicious things begin happening, especially after dark. The camp ghost might be the least scary thing about this place. Dun, dun, dun.
So
that's Camp Sylvania by Julie Murphy.
So what is Scarlet? You said that she had a Scarlet diet?
I don't know. I think they're trying to make a reference to like blood, like Camp Scarlet, like Scarlet Red, that it's like a blood diet, but I'm not sure if there's real vampire action at this place or if it's just seems that way.
So maybe it's beet juice. Camp?
Fat camp is a term that's often used for a camp where people are either sent or choose to go. I think they are often just sent there to try to lose weight or with the goal of losing weight.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I've ever met somebody who specifically said that they went to one of these, but I think in a lot of media, people often talk about being forced to go there because their parents want them to lose weight. And it's not always a pleasant experience.
Why?
Well, I guess either the way that they're treated at the camp or the way they feel about being forced to go to this camp. But it sounds like this character, Maggie, tries to make the best out of it. makes some friends, explores the mysteries of the camp. That's cool. They do the Music Man. It's a fun musical.